And this morning, as you've already heard, Pastor Tim and Deborah and a group from our church are in Israel. And is anybody else like me jealous? Yeah. Well, I'm getting some of their Instagrams and some of their communication, and I'm thinking, oh, I wish I was there. And I tell you, in 2019, there's another group going to be going, so you might begin to start saving your nickels right now. And if you want more information about that, you could actually call the church office and ask for Abby, and she can give you details about maybe something coming up in another couple of years. But while they're gone, we have the wonderful joy of having one of our pastoral team, Carmen Quevedo, who's going to be ministering the word this morning. Carmen is the director of our community life department. And Carmen, along with her rickety husband, along with him and their two children, they've been a part of the church for a long time. And actually, for many years, Rick was saved as a young man in this congregation one Easter out at Birmingham High School. Some of you were around when we did that Easter service at Birmingham, and that's where Rick came to the Lord. And so they've grown up in the church here. They went away for a while. They were out at Santa Clarita, and they've been here and there and beyond. But now they're back with us, and I'm so glad that we get to hear the word of the Lord as he delivers it through Carmen. So would you welcome with me Carmen Quevedo.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Pastor Dan. What a great video that was. I've watched it now twice, and I have to tell you that it has ruined me twice. What an amazing opportunity. Am I doing something wrong, Julian? Are we good? We're great. Okay, love it. The very fact that we get to do this together, that we get to care and have compassion for these kids together as a church family. The series we've been doing is This Is Us. And I love that this is us. I love that we get to share a love of Jesus and we get to embrace a group of kids that just need our love. And so anyway, that's exciting. And as we continue on This Is Us, one of the things that I love about that is that it gives us the opportunity to look at our identity in Christ. And as we understand both our identity in Christ and the actions that we get to walk out, the characteristics that get to shine through us, we get to really understand who we are and how we are to live every day, because Jesus should be plainly seen in us every single day. Amen? Amen. So I'm grateful that his word both gives us a plan of salvation, but it also gives us the blueprint for how we're to walk out this life every day. And so that's what we've been doing together as we've been studying this study on This Is Us. What are the characteristics that are different about us than everybody else? We find that we begin to act different, we begin to look different as we get to know Jesus more and more and have that encounter with him. We become people who are, dare I say, just a little bit different than the people all around us. And I think that we're going to find this week, as we continue this study in Romans 13, that we are truly going to look different. As a reflection of Jesus, we begin to look different than those around us, and that's okay, because this is us. This is who we are. And I want to tell you that some of these verses are going to be a little challenging to us, and that's okay, right? Okay, good. So if you would, turn with me to Romans 13. We are going to read verses 1 through 8, which my daughter, who was here in the first service, thought was a lot of verses to read out loud. But I know you can do it. I know you can do it. So let's do that. Let's start. They're going to put it on the screen for you, and we are going to read together. There it is, beginning in verse 1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay your taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we come before you right now, and we ask that you will give us a fresh understanding of your word. Father, I ask that you would open our ears to hear what you are saying to each and every one of us. May we internalize your word and make it a part of the way we live every day of our lives. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I have to tell you, when Pastor Tim invited me to preach while he was away in Israel, I was very honored. And I was excited about the subject and the series that we were a part of. I was thrilled by that. And then I read the text. Now, I don't know if you got a little sidetracked because it was a little bit long, but let me summarize for you because it's really good stuff. Here's the summary. Have respect for authority. Submit to that authority. Pay your taxes. And don't sweat it, because love will cover it all. Easy, right? Super simple. We can all just go home right now, because we're all there. That's a simple thing. No, it's not. It's actually a hard mouthful to hold. Personally, I find it difficult and challenging every time I read those words, that kind of scripture. Anytime there's been a leadership change in my life, whether that's a new boss or a new teacher or, dare I say, a new president, these are tough words when things are challenging to us, because you and I both know that it's easy to submit to authority when we agree with them, right? It's easy to submit to authority when we start with a respect for them. But sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes we find ourselves challenged. And if you find yourself in a position where you're lacking respect for that authority, it is really, really hard to say yes to those verses that we just read. Anyone? Anyone? Okay. So when Scripture tells us to submit to authority, I feel like sometimes, for me, maybe not you, but for me, I have to step back, I have to revisit the concept of respect. So let's do that today, okay? If you would, turn with me to 1 Peter 2:17. And as we start here, we'll look at this thing called respect. 1 Peter 2:17 admonishes us to show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. Now, another version reads, honor the king. And I submit to you that in our context, it means honor the president. So let's get back, Let's start at the beginning, and let's focus at the beginning of that scripture, because I really think that is what sets the tone for this entire conversation today. We are to show proper respect to everyone. Basic respect seems to be missing in our society today. You'll find it's missing in conversations about government, yes, but you're going to find it's missing a lot closer to home, too. It's missing in the classroom. It's missing on the ball field. It's often missing in the grocery line. It's sometimes missing as some people just don't feel like they have any obligation to pay attention to traffic laws. You know, it's just missing basic respect for individuals. It's across the board. And 1 Peter 2:17 begins with this basic statement: show proper respect to everyone. But when we look around, we just don't see it. There's a complete breakdown in this basic respect, and it requires us to kind of back up and see what that means. So what does respect mean? It means to admire someone or something deeply as a result of their abilities, their qualities, or their achievements. To offer respect is to act in a way which shows that you are aware of someone else's rights or wishes. But how does that work? How can I show respect for someone, everyone, admiring them deeply as a result of their abilities, qualities, or achievements, when I haven't had the opportunity to see any of those things? I haven't had the opportunity to see them in action in a way that would make me go, oh yes, I respect that. What if I can't see any respectable qualities in them at all? How am I then able to show respect? If we are to give proper respect to all people, then I submit to you that requires us to respect each other simply by virtue of the fact that they were created by God. We don't even have to go down the road towards authority in this conversation when we arrive at basic respect. You, my fellow man, my fellow woman, I respect you because you were created by God. Period. It's over. Basic respect happens when we trust God. See, maybe it means that we have to accept them and their abilities. We have to accept that they have qualities and they have achievements that are worthy of respect, even when we can't see them. We have to simply trust God. And then we can respect our fellow man. Amen? So for us, this is us, the way we act, the way we respond to people. This is us, a people who have encountered Jesus. People, when they encounter us, receive respect, even if no one has afforded them respect all day long. Now, have you ever had the opportunity to give respect to someone who has given you absolutely no reason to respect them? Come on, you have. I know you have. All right. So for me, I did recently. I was standing in line at the grocery store. It was a busy day. It was a long line. It was a line at the grocery store. And I'm standing there with my 9-year-old daughter. And all of a sudden, this man behind us goes off. He was not a happy camper. Not at all. He started spewing profanity in the direction of the clerk that was at the cash register. She was easily 6 people in front of him. So he's spewing this very, very loudly, but every word was absolutely something I didn't want my daughter hearing. It was not okay. And he was out of control. And everybody in that room, absolutely nobody in that room, wanted to hear what he had to say at that moment. You see, I was pretty clearly and pretty quickly aware that he didn't have a lot of respect for me or my daughter or anybody else in that store at that moment, or the fact that we just didn't need to hear that. But the other thing that was happening was also clear. Nobody in that store had any respect for him at that moment. He was out of control. And while I might not have done this had my daughter not been there, she was. So I took the opportunity to turn to this man, and with as much respect as I could muster, I simply asked that for the sake of my daughter, would he try to control his tongue? Well, let me tell you, he was shocked, to say the least. He was absolutely shocked, but then immediately, he was horribly embarrassed. He was absolutely embarrassed, and he spent the rest of the time in our line, because we were together for quite a while, because we were in this long line. He spent the rest of that time trying to tell me how he doesn't usually talk that way, although he used some flowery language while he tried to tell me that. And basically, he tried to tell me why I should respect him, that he was capable of being respectable at that moment, but he hadn't done it, and he was so sorry. He really was. And I thought, yes, you were worthy of that respect. You were worthy of it. You just didn't know to act that way. You weren't choosing to act that way. But the fact of the matter is, I had an opportunity to show respect to someone who really wasn't showing me any reason to deserve that respect. And I think we have that opportunity in life a lot. We have that opportunity in the discourse, in our national discourse right now. We have the opportunity to care about people, regardless of how they're choosing to talk and walk at that moment. Now, I know that most of you are not people who swear like sailors. You would not have been that man in the line at that moment. That's not who you are. And if it is, it's something you're really working at. And that's a good thing, because we're all working at life and at becoming better, a better version of us, always. But I wonder if sometimes we're guilty of the same thing he was doing in line. Are we guilty, maybe in our Facebook post, of saying things that make sense to us, but could be offensive to others, could actually be hateful? Is that okay? No, not if this is us. We don't act that way. The world around us does, but we don't have to. We don't have to be people that that spew negative, harmful, non-productive things. We have the ability to be people who speak truth and light and love. Amen? Amen. Amen. So if we can figure out this basic respect thing, respect that makes the grocery store line feel a little bit better. You're scrolling through your Facebook, feel a little bit better. Basic respect for those around us. If we can figure that out, then we can go to the next step, and we can go back to Romans 13:1, and we can look at what it means to respect those in authority. So back at Romans 13, verse 1, we are clearly directed to submit to governing authority because all, repeat that with me, all authority is established by God. Verse 1, let everyone be subjected to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. I want to read something to you because it matters. get it right. Because here's the thing. It's up to us to get our eyes off of the broken human vessels that occupy positions of authority, any authority in our lives, and instead give respect to the position of authority that they hold and the fact that they were placed in that authority by God. I'm going to say it again. It's up to us to get our eyes off of the broken human vessels that occupy positions of authority in our lives and instead give respect to the position of authority they hold and the very fact that they were placed in that authority by God. Now, I know some of you are thinking, okay, how can I do that? It's hard. This is not easy. Nothing about this is easy. But this scripture goes on to tell us both the actions that we're to take, the characteristics that should describe who we are as people that live under authority, and also the tool that the Lord gives us to give us the ability to do just that. So let's start with the actions, because I know you've heard it many times and probably said it as well. Actions speak louder than words. So the actions that we are to walk in, it's pretty simple. We're called to be a people who pay our dues. Will you say that with me? We pay our dues. So what are our dues? Well, verse 7 tells us to give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Taxes, revenue, respect, honor. Another version I read said, pay your taxes, pay your bills, respect your leaders. Period. Simple, right? Sure it is. And how is it that we're capable of paying these dues? Well, we do so out of love. Verse 8 tells us, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt of love one to another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The law is pretty clear. We pay our dues. Taxes, bills, respect for authority. And anyone who loves others has fulfilled the law. It's love itself that enables us to pay the debt we owe. Paying our taxes and our debts, that's an opportunity for us to walk out love. Now, I know that's hard to believe, but it's true. That is our opportunity to walk out love. Showing honor and respect is possible because of the love of God in us. And it's there. It never, ever runs out. The continuing debt of love, one to another, never gets to stop being paid. It's always there. You can pay off your mortgage. Believe it or not, you can pay off your mortgage. You can pay off your mortgage, but you cannot pay off your debt of love. It continues forever. So the bottom line is we owe love. Love. That's what we owe. And our payment of that love is evident in respect. It's evident when we abide by the rules, when we pay our dues, when we participate as good citizens living under authority. Now, I know you know that our entire country is divided on this subject right now. It's a tough time, but I'm here to tell you this is not a political issue. This is a scriptural issue. This is the same as it always has been, that we are to respect authority. You see, scripture doesn't change. In fact, in Hebrews 13:8, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has never changed. His word has never changed. And his word that was written back in Bible times was the same and applied the same as it does today. It applied the same as if we were reading it 100 years ago, when our lives and our livelihood existed around things like the farm and family. And now we find ourselves, so much of our conversation revolving around things that happen out of computers and social media. They are directing our discourse on a regular basis. But the reality is, Scripture is the same. It's never changed. Submission to authority, to governing authority that was established by God, because all authority was established by God, it doesn't change. It's always, always the same. So regardless of politics and opinion, the one distinguishing characteristic of us is that we are a people who choose to honor and respect our governing authorities. We simply must. Wow, it's quiet in here. Come on, you guys, it's okay. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. So why does God establish authority in the first place? Let's look at Acts 13, verses 21 to 23. This is one place in Scripture where God established authority, he removed it, and he replaced it. Acts 13, starting in verse 21. Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." Going on to verse 23, "From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior, Jesus, as he promised." You see, God established the King Saul initially because the people wanted it. They wanted a king. They wanted authority over them. And if you go back to the Old Testament, you'll find that Saul, he started out a good king. He was a good leader until he wasn't listening to God anymore. And he became wicked, self-absorbed, and just simply not doing what God required of him. So God removed him. And in his place, he replaced him with a man after God's own heart, David. Now, that doesn't mean David was perfect, because we all know David was not perfect. In fact, the stories of King David are juicy novels. If you've not read them, you really should, because, man, David did some crazy stuff. He committed adultery. He killed a man so as not to get caught with his wife. He did some bad news stuff. And in fact, David's story, David's time, if that were in the news today, we wouldn't be terribly surprised, because it wouldn't look a lot different than some of the things we have seen over time. But David, he was placed in authority by God. Now, if you look in the Old Testament at the account of the different kings over the years, it's an interesting process, because I don't have to give you the exact names to tell you. Good king, bad king. Good king, bad king. Good king, bad king, bad king, bad king, bad king, bad king. Good king! It was crazy. There were all kinds of bad kings. It was all over the place. But can I tell you? All of them appointed by God. All of them to fulfill God's purpose. With David in particular, you found that David had a purpose in what he did as king, but verse 23 tells us that some of that purpose wasn't fulfilled for generations later. It was when Jesus came on the scene. His descendant became the king of Israel, the promise fulfilled generations later. These things we can't begin to see, know, understand, comprehend what God's purposes are in the leadership that he puts in place. But all of them are appointed by God. He has purposes. He has plans that are beyond our comprehension. Okay, you guys are really, really quiet. But I hear it under your breath. I hear it around the room. You get it. Okay, Carmen. But how? How do I walk through this? It's simple. It goes back to verse 8. It's out of love. Verse 8 tells us that we have accomplished all of these things if we love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. It's important to know that this law, this love, it's agape love. It's a God kind of love. It's a love by choice. We get to choose to have the love that enables us to be people who can submit to authority. So what does it mean for us? Us, if this is us? Well, it means that we are a people who first trust God. We just trust Him. Regardless of what we see in the leaders around us, we believe God is sovereign and we can trust Him. Amen. Well, we are also a people who pay our dues. That means we pay our taxes, we pay our bills, and we respect the authority we sit under. All of these things are possible because of love. We are a people who honor our leaders. We honor those in authority over us just because they're placed in authority over us. Just because all authority is appointed by God. And finally, we pray for those in authority. You need only to read the Psalms to realize that God spoke to David regularly, both when he was doing well and when he was not. David wrote, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." He wrote that in a time when his heart was not clean, and he knew that. You see, God can and will move in the hearts of our leaders, and our responsibility is to pray for them. We are a people who have had an encounter with Jesus. We want to be a people who are praying for our leaders to have the encounters with Jesus that they need to have to lead in a godly way. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you love us enough to give us clear, foundational, unchanging directions on how we are to live our lives and to respond to authority. Lord, we ask that you move among us. Lord, we thank you that you've given us the tools to love that cover all that you ask of us to do. Help us to identify the places in our heart that we haven't been trusting you. Church, with your heads bowed right now, I'd like to ask you to do just that. Would you examine your heart? Would you take a minute and just ask the question? Have you found yourself withholding basic respect from someone in your life? Basic respect because you don't believe that they deserve it. Maybe it's as far away as Washington, but maybe it's really close to home. Maybe it's your boss, a coworker, someone in your own home, or even the person next to you. Is there someone that you're withholding basic respect for because you don't think they deserve it? Or are you having trouble trusting God? Are you having trouble trusting Him with someone He has put in authority over you? While I didn't talk about it a ton, I suspect there's somebody in this room who's having a hard time with paying their dues. The idea of paying taxes and paying bills and paying obligations that really are yours frustrates you. And you're not sure that you want to be somebody who does that. Or is it honor and respect and submission to authority that you're struggling with today? Are those the things that you need to lay at the cross? You can lift your heads. I really feel like These are all issues of our heart. These are all the kinds of things that get stuck, and they can shape the way we function and the way we do things. But Jesus wants to take those broken things, and if we'll give them to him, he'll change us. He will make us new. So I ask you, if as you examined your heart, you found something that you need to submit to the Lord, would you put your hands out like this and lift it to the Lord? We're going to give those things to him right now.